news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. The right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senate, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Hey, hey, I'm here to let you people know that the darkness and cold is over. People, springtime has arrived, and we can't be more happier about it. I mean, it's spring. It's here now, okay? It came. We're in it. It's the beginning of spring. It's going to get warm. The flowers are going to come out, the honeys, the shorts, everything. But until that time, we're here to keep you company. And we're the What Are You Reading comic book show. I am the Surfer. I don't know why I do this, but I do it for the people. And I wish I didn't have to carry this burden alone. I've had somebody to help carry the weight, to kick the burden off my shoulders. It would really help to show.
Yeah, good luck finding that.
What?
I said, good luck finding that.
I guess I have to settle for Jordan Cobb. People, give him a hand. Jordan Cobb, here to help me. Put on a show.
Yay.
Uncle Jordan from now on. Anyway.
Is that what we're going to go with?
No, nah, man. You're not Uncle Material, man. You're too young. Too dumb. And I don't get insulted when I say you're too dumb. It's just that when I think of uncles, I think of wise, dirty old men who tell you about how things were back in the day and then how embarrassing they are when they're at a kid's party, but they still doing the freaky, nasty dance out on the floor.
Look, I will be sure to tell my nephew at the time I had dial-up internet.
Because they think they got to be hot and sexy at a kid's party. That's what uncles are. And if you're lucky, you get an uncle that gets drunk and wants to shoot somebody because he's drunk and he wants to prove how bad he is.
Well, I can do the drunk part. I generally like to go to places where there's someone I don't want to shoot. Because generally, people I want to shoot, I tend to avoid them.
Wow, the show page looks a lot different. And of course, there is they have the lineup for next weekend WrestleMania coverage here at Rant EM Radio, which we'll go over in a little bit later. Right now, we're here to talk the books. And how can the people join us?
Well, there are several ways people can join us if you're listening live. You can pick up your phone and call us at 215-253-4516. We'd really appreciate that. It's costing us a bit to keep this number. Join us on Skype. Call and or add the contact silversurfer_forever, all lowercase. Or if you want to type it out, written fonts. Go to www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live, which is also where you can hear all the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio on a loop if you missed the show live. But there are other ways you can listen to us, you know, if you missed the show. You can listen to us on Stitcher Internet Radio, Geek Life Radio, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and of course the almighty iTunes. Just go on over to iTunes and subscribe to Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcast section. You'll get all the fine programming. And while you're there, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. That'll be extremely helpful. And you can also, right now, go by the What Are You Reading comic book show Facebook page on, well, Facebook, and like us for any news updates or any little thoughts and stuff we're going to be posting there.
Facebook, people.
Yeah, I hear it's kind of a thing.
I don't know. I like MySpace better. I think we ought to migrate over to MySpace.
Friendster's where it's at.
I hear that's the hot happening thing.
Yeah, go to MySpace, connect with some friends, put up your hot new mixtape demo. It's all good.
Man, we got a lot to talk about. A lot of news, TV talk. On and on and on. Let's get the TV talk out of the way, because it's been a while since we had some fresh TV talk, because, you know, there was some hiatuses.
Yeah.
But Flash and Arrow came back this week.
Yes, they did. Flash came back with Out of Time. It's much talked about and anticipated episode. That was Dive into Time.
Yeah, this might have been the best episode so far.
Oh man, it delivered. It is the best episode of the series so far. And I'll say it only validifies my statement of saying the Flash is among these shows we're reviewing, and that's the best.
I can't say it's the best yet, but it can build to that. They introduced time travel. We finally saw a tiny bit of time travel, you know, what kind of speed Barry can get up to, and what'll happen if he goes fast enough.
By the way, we should prophesize huge goddamn spoilers on this one.
Well, I'm not gonna...
Well, it's just in case we get into them.
some things on this may have happened, may not have happened, depending on how they choose to go with it next week.
Well, the show is not going to be the same now that time travel is introduced. Things are about to get shaken up big time.
And sorry, people, but Cisco, he went out like a punk. He did.
Possibly.
No. I mean, I know what's happening. I know what's going to happen. I'm just saying, you know, when you know you're going to go out, man, you can go out either. Bravely, Cisco, or as a punk.
Cisco getting his insides vibrated by the now revealed Eobard Thawne that is secretly disguised as Harrison Wells.
Which, I don't know why everybody tried to come up with all these different theories about who the Reverse Flash is, and there's more than one Reverse Flash.
Well, the details we got seem to be sticking a lot to the comic counterpart. Like, he's time travel, he's trying to go use time travel, kill Barry and all that. It's only kills mom.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is...
I'm appreciative of that, and also how good Tom Cavanaugh played the scene.
It's people. No, I'm saying people was trying to come up with all these different theories about two Reverse Flashes and this and that and what his motivations are, and it was always the simplest answers, and I don't know why people was trying to recreate the wheel.
I don't like the fear. I think too much, and I might get disappointed with what's actually given to me on screen. So I just want to enjoy the ride. I'll think of something they could do every now and then. But I was like, with the way the Flash is gone, these writers are getting it right. They know the Flash. They are honestly getting this show absolutely right. And and also the effects on this episode were outstanding.
You know, all I have to say is some things that once they were invented, that was it. Fire, the wheel, DVRs. You can't do no better than that. I mean,
looks like you can't do any better than Flash.
I mean, you can improve the internet. You can improve rocket ships. You can't improve the wheel, okay? The wheel works the way it works. You can't improve fire. Fire burns. You just, you know, you can't make new fire. You can't make a new kind of fire.
I don't think anyone's trying to make new fire.
Hey, well, you know, and making machines to take over, that's the disaster waiting to happen. But that's another story. Anyway, but do you see where I'm coming from with Iris West? Why I don't like her? Can you see why?
What exactly?
Why I don't like her?
Yeah, but you gotta bring up something.
I've been telling you I haven't liked her for a while now.
Okay. Now, I'm coming back to me now. Okay, look, this is the best Candace Patton's been. And look,
Candace Patton's beautiful. I'm just saying, Iris West is.
Yeah, the character's a little bit weak on this show, but the second half made her a lot stronger. And I will say, Iris is still the whole love, you know, complicated story. That's still the weakest point of this entire show.
Okay, listen.
What?
Barry told her how he felt, right? Yes, she still moved in with Eddie, and then she's gonna try to manipulate the situation by doing things that she knows she shouldn't be doing, wiping the mouth off with the fingers and hoarding it on
Linda.
On Linda and the date and all the other stuff. I mean,
I'll say this. This is not a defense, but look, love just complicates every damn thing. It just makes people act sometimes in irrational ways and out of character for themselves. And Iris clearly is not handling her own feelings for Barry right now. And she's not handling them in the best way. She's handling them in the worst way by still just stringing along Eddie. And that's not a defense, but it's not a defense, but it is just, I wish they could just get over it now. It's because, again, love can just make us think or just do some real stupid things and act in irrational ways, which is what clearly Iris is, and I wish they could get over that right now, like soon. Mm-hmm. And it seems like from the preview for this Tuesday's episode, it seems like that could be dealt with. I'm not gonna say how exactly, but it seems like it'll be one of the points of the episode.
And then on Arrow, previously on Arrow, you know, when last we left, he was given the offer of becoming Ra's al Ghul.
When we last left Oliver.
Yes, Oliver Queen, the Arrow. And now, I'm not saying this is what they said, but we can speculate and think about this and write it the way we want, but this particular Ra's al Ghul is not the Ra's al Ghul that goes up against Batman all the time. Apparently. Because we find out that Ra's al Ghul is a title that can be passed on from person to person. And he wasn't the first Ra's al Ghul. So maybe this isn't the Ra's al Ghul that met Batman one time. That he took that guy's place. Who knows? What do you think?
Well, I think the idea was interesting to bring up that this is apparently a title could be passed down, and so on and so forth. This is an interesting portrayal of Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul. It really is. I'm also liking the actor right now a little bit better, but this is an interesting take on the character. It's something that's keeping my attention for sure.
Yeah, you've seen the Paley Fest trailer, right?
No, I'm avoiding both of those because they have potential spoilers.
Well, yes, they both tell you a lot about what's going to happen.
And I'd like to be surprised.
And one of the things I'm going to say is, without trying to spoil too much, you know about the Green Arrow movie they was talking about doing at one time, right?
Yeah.
The Supermax film?
Yeah.
From what I saw in that Paley Fest trailer, season 3 could be like that.
Huh. Okay.
I doubt it, but if it goes that way, then you heard it here first, people. And if you don't know what I'm talking about with the Supermax movie, there's a movie, a Green Arrow movie that's going to make where Oliver Queen ended up in a Supermax penitentiary prison and, of course, had to fight his way in this prison to survive against a good amount of the criminals he's helped put away. And for whatever reason, they never got to making that movie. But who knows? Maybe they'll do it in this show at some point. So you've been warned. What do you think about the reveal at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, we're just gonna go right into that.
No, I'm asking you now.
Well, first off, I like the episode of Arrow. Very good setup. Nice little twist with a flashback ending. See? Now I can talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay.
Which twist exactly? Because...
Okay, Bobby and Mac, you know, they were doing something...
Oh, working for New S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, working for an organization that thinks they are also the real S.H.I.E.L.D.
I thought that was a great twist.
And do you think
something I honestly did not see coming.
Then do you think that this so-called real S.H.I.E.L.D. is a good S.H.I.E.L.D. or just another setup by Hydra?
No.
To hide the activities? Or?
No, I think it's the real S.H.I.E.L.D.
So why do they have a problem with Coulson S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know. I think maybe I honestly can't tell, really. I have no real theory to bring up, nor do I.
So this week we're getting Commander Adama. It's going to be showing up as part of the real S.H.I.E.L.D., in charge of the real S.H.I.E.L.D. I think the whole Inhuman storyline, I like it. It's a little slow, though. I want to get some more reveals about the Inhumans, but if they do it right, it'll come out to being a good story. And I also was kind of upset that we didn't meet who Cal was going to see, and it was like, it's not up to me what happens to you.
You gotta leave something for the audience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. He's got to leave, you know, got to keep him hanging. And we met Agent May's ex-husband. What's his name again?
Andrew Gardner, played by Blair Underwood.
Blair Underwood, yes. My man, Blair.
I think that was a really good introduction. Nice little character, fleshing out May's character. And I also just really liked the episode overall. I loved the plot idea of Cal just getting together these bunch of, you know, superhuman baddies and just going toe-to-toe with Coulson and his team on the football. It was just fun, exciting, and, man, Kyle MacLachlan really stole
the world. You said bad agents?
No, I said Coulson and his band.
Band, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and are we done with that?
Yeah, I said I really liked the episode. What are your thoughts?
No, I thought some of it was good, some of it was just slow. You know, I was wondering who Bobby and Mac was working for. I didn't think they were working for Hydra.
Well, where was that line, like in the episode before? We were talking about how they, you know, how...
Yeah, devastating how you find out, you know, people...
Yeah, so that immediately eliminated Hydra from everyone's spirit.
No, you never eliminate Hydra, okay? Never eliminate Hydra. They're everywhere. That's the thing. They're everywhere. You don't know they're everywhere. So, this real shield could be half Hydra or cover Hydra.
I doubt it.
I'm just saying, don't keep your eyes open. Don't turn your back on anybody. Okay, keep it 100. Keep eyes in the back of your head, people. Walking Dead. Just can't have nice things in The Walking Dead. Can't have nice things in this world. Not without somebody screwing up. Paradise is already starting to fall apart. You find out these people living on this wall get each other killed because of their cowardly ways. And now that what's the woman's name who's in charge, thinks she's in charge of everything?
Deanna.
Yeah, okay. Now that her son is dead, she's not gonna be too happy. And then talk about a devil in the group. What do you think about what Father Gabriel did?
That was a bit of a turn. It's like, dude, you're in the fucking zombie apocalypse. You have to get over some sense of morality in order to survive this.
Okay, but do you think he was telling that because he really thinks he's doing the right thing, or he's a bad person who does things like this?
All right, could you repeat that?
You think he really thinks he's doing the right thing, or he's a bad person who causes more trouble than...
Well, this is, of course, is tying to his, you know, loss of faith and guilt, but he is really... Rick and his group are no better than the Terminus people who cannibalized people and were going to willingly kill you and Rick's group. There's got to be some perspective there, man.
Well, listen. If he thought that these were bad people, why didn't he just leave the group?
I don't know. Then he would have nothing. He would still have that burnt down, torn down church.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it was okay for him to keep him alive, but that's the bad part about it. I mean,
he's losing his faith. He's got no church, really, no place to go.
Hey, listen.
So this is really the only place he can be.
Listen, no. If he thought this was an evil group, he would have just left out on his own. Okay. You take your chances on your own. You don't stick around those that you think are the devil. Satan? Call them Satans. How dare he? You know?
Well, I'd also say, I'm also going to agree with nobody in the chat room. He doesn't want to die. But again, Gabriel...
Nobody wants to die. But if you're thinking that way, then you still... Look, you don't put up with people you think are terrible just because you don't want to die.
Yeah, well, again, lost his faith, church is burnt, church was completely just fucked and destroyed, and, you know...
And whose fault is that?
Which is what caused them to go along
Alexandria. Whose fault did the church got destroyed? Whose fault is that?
Part of his.
It was his. He sneaking out like he was doing.
But look... I'm saying...
Led the zombies back to them.
I'm going to say this. Father Gabriel is in the wrong of trying to... Of just doing... Saying what he said to Deanna. Because, again... would you rather be better? Okay, because again, they have kept you alive, and they also stopped the people who were going to, you know, eat, who ate people, and were going to possibly eat all of you and kill you. You know, they took care of them. They're still giving you shelter. They brought you along with Alexandria. Dude, I'd be grateful.
I mean, they how many times did they save his life personally? Like 3 times?
A lot of times. More than just a lot of times. I lost count.
Well, okay. When they first met him, they saved his life. Saved his life against the Terminus gang. They saved his life when the zombies was at the church. That's at least 3. And then out in the road, you know, it wasn't like he was out there leading the charge to take on zombies. So, I mean,
he's got to survive.
They killed the wrong black man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Noah's dead now.
And, yeah. How long do you think they're going to stay at this location?
Like, again.
For story purposes. Like,
you keep asking me that, and I really don't have an answer.
I don't remember asking you that before.
No, you asked me last week.
I don't remember.
Of course you don't. You've asked me the past couple of times, and I still really can't think of a good guess.
Okay, do you know how long they stayed there in the comic book?
Pretty while. Pretty long time.
Could they stay there all the next season?
Maybe.
Okay.
Again, you're asking someone who can't make a good guess on this to make a
guess. You don't know nothing.
Well, neither do you, so I will call it even.
I know it all. Okay. I have ESPN. So that's it for TV Talk, right? Oh, iZombie.
iZombie. Pretty good premiere.
Yeah, I thought it was enjoyable for that is pretty much the most CW-ish show there is of comic book shows. Now what is her name again?
Olivia Moore.
Yes, who was a doctor and got infected, became a zombie, and has to eat brains in order to stay functional. No one really knows she's a zombie because I guess they're not popping up all over the place. And now she's becoming, now as a coroner, she's also becoming a detective in a way, because when she eats these brains, she gets memories and side effects of the people that whose brains she eats. So, of course, working in the morgue, you're going to come across a lot of murdered people. And that'll help you see what they saw to lead them to the killer. Now, have you read iZombie?
Yeah, I read the first few or so issues how long of before, iZombie.
How long before the cop finds out she's a zombie?
I don't know, because, okay, I don't remember too much about the iZombie book. I just thought it was okay. Really didn't grab too much of my attention. Just thought it was pretty good. I might go back and reread it, but I can't answer that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, I guess she won't be doing Once Upon a Time anymore, or at least I don't think so. I mean, she could still show up, because she was Tinkerbell on Once Upon a Time. So, you never know. Once in a while, when they may have her do a cameo here and there. And I tell you, man, between Once Upon a Time and Walking Dead, there is no job security on those shows at all, unless you part of the main 3 or 4 people, because everybody else can disappear or die at any point. It's sad. So, what kind of grade do you give iZombie?
Well, I'll say this before I do. I did like it. It's pretty good. It's got some of the nice little snappy stuff I expect from Rob Thomas. And I did like Rose MacGyver as Liv. I thought she was very good. I can say like a solid B, please.
Yeah, it interests me enough to watch a few more episodes, at least you know, before I make a total judgment as to whether I want to stick with the show or not. You know, I thought the humor worked to a point, and you know, the premise seems like it's a nice show, and it's funny how during The Walking Dead they kept advertising iZombie, and I guess they figure because it's a zombie show and a zombie show people will go for it, but everybody don't look at zombie shows the same. But you do have that warm body vibe on this show, so, which is one of my favorite zombie movies. I hate zombie movies, but I like warm bodies in Zombieland. And of course, Shaun of the Dead. And that's it, people. That's all the zombie movies I like. You want to get to news now?
Yeah, let's get to
them. Well, right, you got some Batgirls news you want to talk about.
Yeah, that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal. Okay, people, DC announced that their whole variant color for June is going to be Joker month. So, there is a... So, of course, we saw a variant cover for Batgirl number 41. The cover itself is drawn by American vampire artist Raphael Albuquerque. And it portrayed Joker in his garb from The Killing Joke, Hawaiian shirt, hat, all that, behind a terrified and frozen Batgirl with his arm draped over her with a gun and smearing blood in the form of a smile on her face.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
This started to upset some people about how it was portraying Batgirl, and of course sparked the whole women in comics debate, and just a whole plethora of topics and issues that would take way too long for us to discuss right now. But more so about violence and so and towards women and so forth. The cover has been canceled. And of course DC was also criticized for highlighting a dark period in the character's history, when it juxtaposes the current, you know, youthful, more optimistic direction of the current Batgirl book, being done by Cameron Stewart, Brendan Fletcher, and Babs Tarr, which I kind of agree with. Even if it's just a variant cover, which is my thing, it's just a variant cover. But I can still see why people have legitimate reason to get upset. That was my one thing. It just doesn't match with the tone of the book and stuff, and you know, and all that. I had nothing wrong with the cover. I thought it's pretty creepy. It's effective. And there have been statements given by Albuquerque and DC. Raphael Albuquerque said, "My Batgirl variant cover artwork was designed to pay homage to a comic that I really admire and I know is a favorite of many readers. The Killing Joke is part of Batgirl's canon, and artistically I couldn't avoid portraying traumatic relationship between Barbara Gordon and the Joker. For me, it's just a creepy cover that brought up something for him to carry his past that I was able to interpret artistically. But it's become clear that for others, it touched a very important nerve. I respect these opinions, and despite whatever the discussion is, right or wrong, no opinion should be discredited. My intention was never to hurt or upset anyone through my art. For that reason, I have recommended to DC that the variant cover be pulled. I'm incredibly pleased that DC Comics is listening to my concerns and will not be publishing the cover art in June, as previously announced. With all due respect, Rafa." And DC Comics said, "We publish comic books about the greatest heroes in the world and the most evil villains imaginable. The Joker variant covers for June are in recognition of the 75th anniversary of the Joker. Regardless if fans like Raphael Albuquerque's homage to Alan Moore's The Killing Joke graphic novel 25 years ago, or find it inconsistent with the current tone, tonality of the Batgirl books, threats of violence and harassment are wrong and have no place in comics or society. We stand by our creative talent. And per Raphael's request, DC Comics will not publish the Batgirl variant."
Okay. Yes, the cover is creepy, but it wouldn't bother me much. I don't know why everybody wants to act like it's such a big deal. I mean, people love the Killing Joke as a storyline. I mean, are they going to erase that from history now?
No, they're what? That wow, that's a big leap to. That's a big jumping conclusion. Look,
I mean, it's a cover. Don't why are people losing their stuff over covers? It's, okay, he's
okay. Because it's back. Honestly, I can see the cover can be a bit of a trigger for some people that bring so up if some it bad, was, if that it was bring up some bad memories.
If it was Batman instead, would they have a problem with it?
How's that even a I don't know. I can't understand Pete. I can't gauge a reaction based off of that. Look, again, no opinion should be discredited, as I agree with Raphael Albuquerque. What the image, it can be triggering some people and bring up some bad past trauma that they might still be trying to get over or just been brought back. I can see that, and honestly, wouldn't disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying some people have very valid arguments against this cover. And again, my stance, I think the cover is fine. But again, this is DC. This is Raphael's and DC's decision, and it's not up to me. And yeah, there were threats of violence and harassment in the statement sent to DC. People, don't do that. You're never gonna be taken. Just stop.
Nerds and their threats.
Again, there are very many valid arguments against this cover. But again, my thing is, it is okay, but I can see why DC and the artists don't want to do it anymore. And it's you know, people were comparing this to the whole idea of what happened with the interview in December. Yeah, I could see that, but a bit of a different situation where, but I will agree, artistic expression should never be denied. It should be free and open. But the artist behind this is also seeing the problem and is choosing to not show it. So that's that. We cover the Batgirl situation.
Well, Jordan, I want to talk about something happier, okay?
Okay. Yeah,
I think it's time that I send you to your first convention. Get you cherry popped, okay? Because you have, you know, I know you complain you want to go to these conventions, and it'd be good if you would cover some of them for me, help me out a little bit. So I've scraped the money. I'm gonna get you a plane ticket. I'm gonna send you to FlameCon.
Ah, I see what you did there.
I know you're excited. People.
Yeah.
In New York, they're having the very first gay comic book convention called FlameCon. And when is this taking place? New York is gearing up for it, too. And
it's taking place June 13th at the Grand Prospect Hall in Brooklyn, New York.
And guests. The main event person will be Phil. Is it Jimenez? Yes. Good artist who works on New X-Men, and what else is he known for?
Well, he recently did the Fables spinoff, Ferris.
Fables, yes.
No, Ferris.
Ferris, okay. Now
Fables spinoff.
It comes as no shock to people that there are. That gay people are into comics, and some in the industry work in the business. Do they necessarily need a standalone convention, do you think?
Well, conventions should be all-inclusive. But, you know, I'm not against something like this, because, you know, just to highlight the LGBT section and of comics, both story wise and also creator wise, for the people behind that, and the people in the industry who are part of the LGBT community. I think that all cons should be all inclusive, but again, I'm not completely against this one. I'm really not.
I didn't say I was against it.
No, I know. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying myself.
I think he was on the nightly show this week.
Who?
Phil Jimenez.
No.
Was that him on the nightly show?
I don't know. I'm behind on the nightly show right now.
Okay. I'll link you to the episode.
I know where I can get the episodes.
I know, but I want to link everybody to it because they did a thing about comics this week. And so.
Was it revolving around the Batgirl situation?
No, it was the talk was more than just the
like comics is comics. Or, do you mean comic books or comedians?
No, the whole, well, don't worry. I'm going to find a link and link it to our show page so that I think I found it already. Good. Good, good, good. So, let me put this in Facebook. It's about race and gender and comic book superheroes. And people, you can go to our What Are You Reading comic book page to watch this particular episode. Very good show this week. And I don't know what else to say on that. But I don't think I think everybody can go to this particular convention. I don't think it's only limited to gay and LGBT. Did I say that right?
Always LGBT.
Yeah, I always get the letters mixed up. But we'll see what gets reported from there. Okay. Because Jordan, he's going to cover it for us. I will.
That was a really lame gay joke for that soda.
Anyway.
Just terrible. And also, I'm not seeing anything right now on the site. Geeksout.org, covering this. That says, like, no straight people allowed.
Who says that? Oh, you're saying no one's saying that.
Well, again, I'm just making sure, again, because we're talking about, a specific con for a specific audience.
No, I think it's for everybody. I just think...
Well, yeah, I know, I agree too. I'm just trying to get confirmation.
I just think that they want to spotlight that, gay people do work in the business, and they also read comics.
I'm totally cool with this con. And to anyone going out there, have fun.
Not too much fun now. You want to save some of that energy for the New York Comic Con.
You talking about me or people going?
People going.
Okay.
I lost your ticket, so you can't go. Sorry.
Okay, well, screw you, too. All right, so, yeah, what now?
What now? That's a good question. I leave that. Oh, Fraggle Rock. You want to talk about Fraggle Rock?
I have no problem talking about Fraggle Rock.
Well, I'm going to leave that to you because you grew up watching it, right?
Yeah, I watched Fraggle Rock.
See, Fraggle Rock was after my time. The only reason why I know anything about Fraggle Rock is because I had a little brother who grew up watching it. Other than that, I would have never watched an episode of Fraggle Rock personally. But go ahead, get into it, please.
Yeah, well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to produce and star in a live-action Fraggle Rock movie from New Regency and the Henson Company and Lisa Henson. It'll be a, let's see. Yeah, that's really all the news we got right now. It's also that's really all the news on that so far.
You think they need a Fraggle Rock movie, or do you think people care about Fraggle Rock? Because
there are still Fraggle Rock fans.
A lot of times when they do this type of stuff, it's like, who are you aiming for? Are you aiming for the kids of today who may or may not care about Fraggle Rock because they're watching other stuff? Or are you aiming for the people that grew up watching Fraggle Rock and they remember it as kids, but now they're adults? And, you know, if you take someone from their childhood and you alter it in a slight way, you are raping their childhood.
Yeah, I'm not.
I hear you.
I'm totally cool with Fraggle Rock.
I hear you. You got to do that a little lighter.
What?
You got to do that a little lighter.
I said, yeah, I got no problem.
No, I'm talking about the typing.
All right, fine. But specify. You got to do blank lighter. If you don't specify, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Okay. See, me and Jordan, we're not getting along. We haven't gotten along all year long. We're gonna work through this as any married couple does.
No, so. I'm not upset with you. I'm just saying, if you want me to do something lighter, you need to specify what it is.
You know, it's like we get along just fine.
Yeah. See, me and Surfer, we've been friends. We've been friends for two damn long.
People, they don't need to know our business. No, just leave. No. No, get to the news.
You get to the news.
You get to the news.
All right, see, I gotta do everything around here. Oni Press is gonna start taking open submissions in May.
Which, they're looking for writers, artists, both?
Yeah, I'm about to explain. Oni released a statement on March 19th saying, Oni Press, Portland's premier independent comic book publisher, announced today they will begin accepting submissions and pitches in May. Under this policy, all writers, artists, cartoonists, and colorists seeking to publish their work with Oni Press will be able to submit their portfolio to the Oni Press editorial team. Oni Press will accept submissions electronically through email. Creators whose submissions are selected for follow-up will be contacted within a designated length of time. Further specific details on the process and where to submit will be released this May. Editor-in-Chief of Oni Press, James Lucas Jones, said, quote, we are on the hunt for new stories from new creators featuring characters that reflect the diversity of the world around us. Oni Press has always valued content and execution, and we are looking for creators and projects that can support our goal to publish excellent, varied, and original work.
So, are you submitting anything?
Maybe. Maybe I am, and don't want to say anything about it on the air, because someone will steal my idea, and then if they do, I'm going to beat their ass.
I didn't ask you to tell us what you want to submit. I'm just asking, are you submitting anything?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe not. I want to leave that up in the air.
You know, if people want to get into comics, they don't need to break in with the companies. With the internet, you can make your own book and then get found that way. You know, you can self-publish online and people will find your talent, at which point, if they think you're good enough, they'll come to you. You don't have to beg people to give you a job anymore these days. But it's probably better to try to break it with Oni than to wait around trying to break it with Marvel and DC, because they get so many submissions and so many
people. I'd say it's easier to try and send a submission with an indie company than it is DC or Marvel, because those are the big two. They got tons of shit to deal with every day.
Yeah, I mean, there are tons of people that want to write and draw comic books. You're not the only one, so. you got to, it takes a lot to get with those companies, but, you know, good luck if, you know, if you want to get into the business, you feel you got the juice to do it.
Yes, and since nobody's already talked about it in the chat room, we should get to the fact that Marina Baccarin is going to be copycat in the Deadpool movie.
Yes. She's on Gotham right now.
Sadly.
Why? No, sadly. I thought you liked her.
I like her on Gotham.
Just not sadly then.
Can I just be sarcastic
Listen.
Come on.
You cannot hate Gotham on this. Now, you know, I get a lot of feedback. And people want me to can you for your Gotham hate. Okay?
Oh, I can't have my own opinion.
No. They like Gotham and they want you to... They want you to validate their opinion. Do you not know what your job is?
Hey, first off, God damn it, I'm not going to get into a Gotham diatribe right now. I just wanted to make a stupid sarcastic remark.
No sarcasm on this show, okay? Unless it's from me.
A hypocrite. Anyway, Marina Baccarin will be playing Vanessa Carlyle, a.k.a. Copycat, who has the ability of shapeshifting and power mimicking. First debuted in New Mutants 98.
Is she a good person or a bad person?
And she goes, she's more... Ugh! I haven't read too much of Copycat, but from what I've read, she seems to... You know, switch sides depending on who, you know.
Now, I'm not a Deadpool reader, okay? Does Deadpool have a lot of reoccurring characters in his book?
Oh yeah, it's plenty.
Like
Weasel, like Agent Scott Adsit, like Agent what the hell is her name?
You know,
Domino, Emily Preston, Psylocke, Rogue, and Agent Preston.
If I was a comic book character,
Shakala,
my agent would be fired for getting me in a Deadpool comic book. I mean, I'm just saying, there's better jobs out there. But
I think it'd be cool to be in a Deadpool comic book.
Say it again, Al.
I think it would be cool to be in a Deadpool comic book.
I don't. I think
why not?
Because it's Deadpool. You end up dead.
Okay, we're just going to overlook that. God, that was stupid. And it seems TJ Miller has also confirmed he will be playing Weasel, Deadpool's tech expert and right-hand man.
Okay, Weasel. Sounds like something I can get behind.
Pretty fun character.
They started filming. Yeah.
Yeah, they started filming this week.
That's good. Sorry, I'm talking to myself.
Okay then.
I can't do two things at one time apparently. So, sorry for the brain freeze. Where are we at?
We're going to talk about Preacher.
Okay.
So
we got a couple of stories on that.
Yeah, two roles casted for the upcoming AMC pilot. Ruth Negga, a.k.a. Reyna, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., has been cast in the role of Tulip O'Hare.
Does that mean she's not going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. much longer, or?
I don't know. Maybe. Again, it's just a pilot right now.
Okay.
So, it's not set the series. And it's the pilot shooting this year, going to come out sometime late in, around 2016 or so.
And who else?
Let's see. Ian Colletti has been casted as Arseface.
That's a hell of a name.
Oh, have you read Preacher, right?
No.
Wrong.
I know a little bit about Preacher, but...
So you know about Arseface?
No, but I think the name is self-explanatory. Does he look like a butt?
Yep, kind of does.
Is it like a deform? Does he deformed, like, after the fact? Or he was always looking like that from birth? I mean, like...
Okay. Here is the TV description of the character. Even with his horribly disfigured face and severe speech impediment, Eugene's still the nicest kid you'll ever meet who really looks up to Jesse. Stomach-churningly difficult to look at, Eugene's the town's reviled Frankenstein's monster, but that won't change his earnest, sweet, and pure outlook on life. However, he is troubled by something terrible he's done in the past. Something mm-hmm. he fears may have turned God himself against him. Now, in the comics, he is the son of this Texas town sheriff that's just an overall asshole.
So the father's an asshole, and he has a son that's an ass face.
And he once tried to kill himself by shooting himself with a shotgun, but it didn't take. Kind of brought his face, shot his face in, mm-hmm. and it looks distinctively like an asshole. His mouth does.
Whew. Talk about having something to talk about behind a person's back when you go to the family reunion. And I take it he's a really bad person?
No, he's not. He's one of the few good people, purely good people in the book.
Wow, because I think I would turn evil if I had a face like a butt.
Why would you want to turn evil?
Because I would be hateful of the fact that I look like a butt.
Or you just go on with life.
No, because people are going to make fun of me behind my back. And that would bring out the evil in me.
Okay, your insecurity problems aside.
I'm just saying. I guess we better being a dickhead, but... Preacher's going to be what channel again?
AMC.
And when is it set for?
They're filming the pilot this year. They're going to try and set for apparently a 2016 day.
So let's see. Come 2016, we'll have two Walking Dead shows and a Preacher. Comic book shows are taking over, people. Just remember that. Taking over. Well, let's see. Supergirl. We got a casting of Supergirl. What's this villain's name? Vartox. Yes. Owen Yeoman from The Mentalist and has been cast as the supervillain Vartex. Now, what kind of abilities does this guy have? Because I never heard of him.
Yeah, this has been... let's see. He has many of the same powers as Superman. He's got, like, flight and vulnerability, super strength.
But he's not Kryptonian, right?
No, he's not Kryptonian.
Now, from the picture...
He comes from Valoran.
Okay. From the picture that they have on this article that we got this story from, he kind of reminds me of Nuclear Man. I know he's not, but... That was the first thing I thought of, with a mustache. Nuclear Man with a mustache. And we all hate Nuclear Man, right? Right?
What? Yeah, I thought... What? Yeah, Nuclear Man's a stupid villain.
Right, we all hate him. Well,
there's only one other person here, so yeah.
You're supposed to be backing me up, man.
I'm backing you. I said he's a stupid villain.
Mark Miller has another option on another property of his. You wanna talk about that for me?
You were already talking about it. Okay. Mark Millar's new image book, Chrononauts, with art by Sean Murphy, is first issue came out on Wednesday. Movie deal on Thursday.
So what do they do? They travel through time.
Yeah, it is a time travel book, but I haven't read it because I'm gonna wait to the trade for that because time travel books read way better that way for me. But Universal Pictures has optioned Millar and Murphy's book. And yeah, that's pretty much all the news on that.
I tell you, man, Mark Miller. It's like he's making comic books so he can option them all for movies at this point. I mean, like, is there anything he's written that he came up with that's not being optioned into a movie?
I don't know, Nemesis?
No, I heard that was being that had been optioned at some point.
Well, then I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe his independent stuff is getting optioned. Maybe not his Marvel.
No. He don't own the Marvel stuff. That's different.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, I honestly don't know if there is a book of Mark Millar's that has been optioned.
Okay. It's Sunday. So, of course, now we must bow our heads and pray. Okay. Oh, Thor, God of Thunder, please bless this show. Keep us safe from evil. Keep your dickish father, Odin, from bothering us. Keep that evil Loki away from us. And use Mjolnir to smite all evil on this earth. Amen. Now, Jordan, you didn't bow your head. I saw you. I looked up. But the reason why I bring up Thor is because it turns out that people like the ladies more than they like the fellas. It seems like Lady Thor is outselling the previous male Thor comic book. The last series was Thor God of Thunder.
Yes.
Issue 25 sold about 48,000 copies in September. And last month's Thor number 5, which is the Lady Thor, so 69,500 copies.
Yeah, and Thor number 1, the current series, debuted with having sold 150,862 issues, whereas Thor God of Thunder had 101,443 sold.
110.
That's 110.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what the deal is, whether that's just a thing of after effect, like, because Jason Aaron's been writing such a spectacular run on Thor, right?
Yeah.
And so
I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite books.
And with a new number one, you know, the buzz got out that, you know, he's been good, and he figured this was the time to pick it up. Plus, there's that interest, oh, there's a Lady Thor. And, you know, some people see this as a gimmick, and some people are really interested in what kind of story they're doing. Now, Lady Thor won't last past the end of Secret Wars, most likely. Maybe. You never know. They may. Maybe Lady Thor may stick around after Secret Wars and may not go away until a Thor movie comes out. Who knows? But
I also think it really helps that the Thor book currently is also really damn good.
Yeah, it's been good since Jason Aaron's been writing it from day one.
Well, yeah, but I know. But I'm talking not God of Thunder. I'm talking about this specific run right here.
Mm-hmm.
All the issues with Woman Thor, it's really good.
Well, it's not Woman Thor. It's just Thor. She's Thor.
I know. I'm specifying.
There was a Lady Thor. Right?
What, before?
Yes.
I can't quite remember.
Yeah, I can't think of the circumstance. There was a Lady Thor. I think she died during Secret Invasion.
Well, maybe, but I'm saying Thor right now is one of Marvel's best books and just one of the best comics out there right now.
Oh yeah. Can't wait till they reveal who she is. It's only two people at this point. Okay, it's either his current girlfriend, what's the name again?
Wait, sir. What?
The girl that he has a love interest for.
Thor.
Yes.
Or
what's her shield?
Agent Roxanne.
Yeah.
From S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
Okay. How'd she get to the moon then to go get the hammer?
S.H.I.E.L.D. ship. Who knows? Okay. What I'm saying is, if it's not her, the only other person is one of Thor's granddaughters.
That would be fun.
From the future.
Yeah, from Thor, God of Thunder. That would be right. A great reveal.
Because I could see Thor knowing that he lost his hammer at some point, saying, "You go, take the hammer." I would like it better if it is one of Thor's granddaughters, because it would make sense that one of them would be able to pick up the hammer and wield it. So. Since that is his blood, and they never say if these are Wooden's children or not. These three granddaughters of Thor in the future,
yeah,
are they Wooden's kids or some other kids of Thor's?
I'm having trouble remembering since it's been a while since I've read it.
No, they never said who.
Well, okay. I don't remember.
It's too bad they don't find a way to bring in Wooden. I liked him as a character, but bring him from the future also. But hey, let's move on. What you got for me?
Captain America: Civil War has released an official synopsis that says, following the events of Age of Ultron, the collective governments of the world passed an act designed to regulate all superhuman activity. This polarizes opinions amongst the Avengers, causing two factions to side with Iron Man or Captain America, which causes an epic battle between former allies, and it'll officially start filming on April 1st.
Okay, what's going to happen is so bad that the government's going to say, we got to make these heroes register, Superhero Registration Act.
We'll find out in Age of Ultron.
And of course, if you haven't read Civil War, which is a great story with a terrible ending, Cap believes in individual freedom, and Iron Man, who not necessarily thinks that the Registration Act is the right thing, but figures if we have no choice, that we might as well take control of it, which of course puts them on opposite ends of the debate. And we already know that Cap and Iron Man don't really like each other too much in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it'd be interesting. Whose side Spider-Man is going to take? Oh, that's going to freak people. People are going to lose their stuff when Spider-Man shows up.
Well, it's Spider-Man.
I'm just saying, he's going to show up when he finally shows up in the Marvel Universe. So,
that's expected.
Speaking of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He finally met Miles Morales this week. What you have?
What are you talking about?
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay.
Web Warriors. You know, he's been him and Goblin's been traveling through dimensions because Goblin's been trying to get DNA sample from Ultimate Spider-Man, and he made it to Miles Morales' universe. Of course, and Miles Morales was like, "What are you doing here, Peter Parker? You're dead." And I think now the Goblin knows or has an idea that Spider-Man's Peter Parker, because they was in a cemetery where you came across Peter Parker's headstone. I think he figured it out. But the Miles Morales Green Goblin, that's a scarier dude than the current Green Goblin they have now, so... And you just won't watch it, will you?
Okay. I've already watched enough of the show.
I didn't ask you to watch it at all. I just asked you to watch the Spider-Verse storyline.
I don't care about the Spider-Verse and Ultimate Spider-Man.
This week they're going to have all the Spider-Men team up to stop the Goblin. It's going to be Ultimate Spider-Man plus Ultimate Spider-Man plus Spider-Ham plus Spider-Knight plus Spider-Man 2099 plus Spider-Woman. Good stuff, people. Good stuff. I got to get a clip from that too and post that for you people to look at. So, oh, I might have already done that. I think I already did. Let me check.
Okay, then.
Yeah, get to the storyline. Yeah, I did post it. People, I posted a link to this week's version of Spider-Man Web Warriors where he meets Miles Morales. So, if you're interested in that, we got
the details for the Harley Quinn DLC for Batman Arkham Knight have finally been revealed this week. Is described as such. For the first time in the Arkham series, take on the role of Joker's psychotic sidekick Harley Quinn and wreak havoc inside the Bloodhaven Police Department. With this exclusive story pack, experience events in the lead up to Arkham Knight as you infiltrate Bloodhaven to rescue your partner in crime, Poison Ivy. Delve deep into Harley's demented nature and utilize her devastating baseball bat to smash, crash, and bash your way to a friend very much in need.
Okay.
Sounds exciting. Wish I had a damn PS4.
So that's exclusive PS4 only?
No, the game's on next-gen consoles.
No PC.
Well, okay, it's on PC as well. I'm saying console exclusively, it's next-gen systems. PS4 and Xbox One. It'll also be available on PC.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have that. I have a Wii, so I don't get to play it.
Which I would be appreciative if someone donated me a PS4 or a gaming PC computer. I'm just saying. Before that game comes out on June 2nd, I really like it a lot.
Sorry. I don't mean to yawn. Okay. What's next on there? Incredibles 2. Finally coming out. It's coming out in 2016. We finally getting that sequel to Incredibles 2. Some people, that's their favorite Pixar movie. It might be mine too.
I always go back and forth if either The Incredibles or Up is my favorite Pixar movie.
Yeah, I can fight between those two. And Wall-E.
The Incredibles, I will say, is one of the best superhero movies of all time as well.
Now, is Brad Bird going? Is he directing this, though?
Well, when the reports first came out, you know, Brad Bird's still going to be involved.
Because if he's not involved, then I don't know if I'm interested. And where's the incredible comic book, people? Okay, you're dropping the ball on this.
There was one years ago.
No. I was reading it. I'm saying, since Marvel has all the rights down.
Okay.
To all these Pixar properties, you would think they would have an incredible book out there, but no, we're still waiting. Still waiting. Anyway, they probably mess it up anyway, so. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, just joking, Mouse. Just joking, Mickey. Don't.
No, it's not. There's been a list released of the books that'll seemingly be, and I'm using quotations, ending before Secret War comes out.
Okay. It's not a story, but I'll explain it to you after you're done.
I think it is a story. Marvel's Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing, David Gabriel, said in an interview about the absence and such, it means there will be a 616 finale, and that means exactly what fans have suspected. Everything ends. Again, Marvel is just choosing their words wisely to reveal not a damn thing about what's going on. Emphasizing Battle World is the Marvel Universe, but these are the books. All new Captain America, all new Ghost Rider, all new X-Men, Amazing Spider-Man, Angela, Asgard Assassin, Avengers World, Captain Marvel, Cyclops, Deadpool, Elektra, Fantastic Four, Guardians 3000, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hulk, Inhuman, Iron Fist, Living Weapon, Legendary Star-Lord, Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, New Avengers, Nightcrawler, Nova, Rick Raccoon, Secret Avengers, Spider-Man the X-Men, Spider-Man 2099, Storm, Superior Iron Man, Thor, Uncanny, X-Men, Wolverines, and X-Men.
Wake up! Sorry. Jordan, don't take this personal. The reason why I fell asleep on that is because this is not a story, okay? I'm not getting on you. Everything is ending. This is... Of course these books are ending. They're coming back after the end of Secret Wars, okay? Because Marvel takes every chance they can to restart their books with a number one issue, okay?
I think it's a story mentioning what books are going.
But you had to figure out they was getting rid of their entire lineup.
Well, they're not getting rid of their entire lineup.
How many books are going to stick around through Secret Wars and keep their numbering?
Well, look, clearly, play I can think of from that list. Daredevil, Ant-Man.
No, I guarantee they'll all start with a number one.
Really?
Yes.
Ant-Man's still going to go on during Secret War. Okay. So is Daredevil.
Okay, but by the end of Secret Wars, they'll stop and start over again.
As is Ms. Marvel, Black Widow, Punisher.
All those books will stop and start over. Don't fall for the okey-doke, people. Don't fall for it.
You know, you could have brought this up as it not really being a story to me before we went on the air.
No, but we're doing a show here, okay? We're entertaining the people. I have to do my thing. I'm just saying, me personally, I don't think it's a story. I'm not saying you weren't supposed to tell the story. I'm just saying, why is Marvel trying to make a big deal out of books? We all know this ending is going to restart up. Don't
run up speculation.
They're all going to restart up after the end of Secret Wars.
They just want to run up speculation and hype for Secret War. How do you not see that?
It's a trap, people. As Admiral Akbar always says, it's a trap. Okay, now that you learned your lesson, Jordan. Hate to have been the ones who come down on you like that, but I appreciate what you do for me, okay? Some live-action Attack of the Titan footage came out this week, and I really don't know what to make of it, to be honest. It doesn't look like it's Hollywood effects, but I still want to see this movie whenever it makes it over to the state, if it ever makes it over to the states in English, because I really don't want to read a lot of subtitle with Attack of the Titans. What did you think of the trailer?
That was pretty good. I mean, I am an Attack on Titan fan.
I think we all are, but I couldn't tell what was going on other than the fact there was some Titans in the background, people running.
Yeah, because there are a lot. What we could see was pretty good.
The special effects didn't seem cleaned up to me. So
they could still be working on them.
That's true. That's true. And when is this due out again?
No idea.
And they haven't started on the second season yet for the cartoon, have they?
I don't know about the second season production of the stupid video. I don't know anything about the production of the second season of the anime. They could be doing voiceover right now.
No, I'm not talking about English. I'm just talking about over in Japan. They haven't started the second season yet, right?
Well, they still they still do voiceover work in Japan.
No. I know that. I'm saying like they haven't even gotten to finishing a second season yet.
Again,
sorry.
I don't know anything about the production of season two. That's it.
Okay, all right. All right, Jordan. What's next? Avengers got no more Avengers spots. At this point, I can't wait for the movie. Are you doing the marathon? No.
No.
You can't hang.
No.
You can't hang, huh?
Well, that transportation issues, and also, I'll do the marathon, as I said when we mentioned the story. I won't do a marathon of these movies, but in my house.
See, if I could sneak in some alcohol, we can do shots during the marathon.
Get a flask.
No, I need more than a flask worth of alcohol for 24 hours of drinking. You know, because especially if you're with your friends, you know, you need gallon bottles at this point. You know, and you need soda mixes and a little flask. That's just for a sip here and there. So, but what did you think of the latest spots? You think
it looks cool. Nice to see. Hear Quicksilver and all. I just want to see the movie now.
Yeah, he looks like he got that. He got a European accent, which that may turn some people off, especially since the Quicksilver they got in the X-Men movie was a regular old American speaking person.
You know what I care about? The character being portrayed correctly by in a good performance by an actor.
I never thought Quicksilver had a European accent, though.
It's been more like Eastern European with the origins of London.
Yes, I'm aware of that, but I figure they've been here long enough that they would sound more American than Eastern
European. No, I think they were gathered up pretty young where they had already developed their voices, and thus they have accents, and
I think they're going to sound Romanian.
What?
Romanian, like, maybe?
I don't know. I never really met a Romanian person.
No? I got some links to some adult movies so you can hear it. No, never mind. We shouldn't talk about that. Anyway. Whew. Sorry, I got off track there, people.
Big Bang Theory's Jim Parsons stated in an interview for his upcoming movie Home with MTV, if he was asked, you know, what type of superhero he'd play, he would like to play a villain. He'd more so like to play the Riddler, because he said, I don't feel like they're really using the Riddler very much. Are they?
No. And if they're doing 60s Batman, Riddler, he's probably best suited.
But that's actually, as much as I don't care for Big Bang Theory, Jim Parsons is a damn good actor.
But that's not the Riddler I want to see.
Look, I've seen Parsons outside of Big Bang Theory. He's got an incredible range and versatility to his acting ability. I can see him play any version of Riddler.
The version of Riddler I want to see brought to life is the Batman animated series version, where he's like a computer genius who uses traps to try to outsmart Batman more than riddle me this, Batman. What does an animal do when he crosses the road?
All right, he still does the riddles,
but his riddles aren't these goofy riddles that you got from the 60s.
Again, with Parsons, I'm fine with... I prefer the Batman the Animated Series version, but I'm fine with him portraying any version of Riddler.
Well, his new movie coming out... I'm trying to decide whether I should do a review or not.
That's not my problem.
I didn't say it was a problem. I'm just wondering, should I do a review on it? Do you think the people want to hear
I don't have any real strong feelings. Do it or don't do it. It's not going to affect me.
Jordan, when I look for you for support...
Okay, man, do the review.
You don't want me to do the review. You just say that just to shut me up. But anyway... what are we at the news?
What?
How many more news stories we got?
Well, I'm just going to get through them. Lucifer's recast in a role. Spartacus's Leslie Ann Brandt is going to be playing Maze, who is replacing Lena Esco, who fell out for no real cited reasons whatsoever right now, so that's all up in the air. Robbie K will be joining Heroes Reborn.
You know, I can't say that I'm excited about Heroes Reborn because I've never really gotten into Heroes.
I'm not excited.
Like, I tried watching Heroes, and there was a couple things about the first couple episodes I was like, no, I don't care. And I didn't even watch it.
Kay will be playing a new character that no details of have been released. Dominic Purcell, who plays Mick Rory, a.k.a. Heatwave on The Flash, will be joining the proposed upcoming Arrow Flash team-up spinoff show, alongside with Brandon Ralph Wentworth Miller, Victor Garber, and Katie Lotz. Not much is still being said about that show, although it's sounding better and better the more I hear. Doug Jones, who was casted as Deathbolt on Arrow's 19th episode, Broken Arrow, will be coming on to Flash's 22nd episode, Rogue Air.
I think there's going to be a lot of crossover villains between Flash and Arrow. And it kind of makes sense that...
Yeah, it does.
You know,
shared universe.
Yeah, it makes people happy that way.
And the last bit of news is the schedule for WonderCon 2015 out in Anaheim from Friday, April 3rd to Sunday, April 5th has been announced.
WonderCon... That's from what, April 3rd to April 5th?
As I just stated, yes.
Right. Is that a Wizard of...
No, it's not. It's Comic-Con International.
It's Comic-Con International, okay.
This is like one of the bigger, it's one of the more well-known cons, so...
Yeah, I know.
We always get stories out of WonderCon each year, so...
Well, anything that has to do with... Now, this is Comic-Con International. This isn't New York Comic-Con, right?
No. Here are some of the things that are going to be presented. There's going to be a Back to the It's going to be a back in time panel, back in time of a documentary about the cultural impact the Back to the Future franchise has. It's going to be a big Batman panel. There's going to be some special preview screenings of episodes of Flash and Gotham. And iZombie, Teen Titans Go. Wayward Pines will be screening its premiere episode of the Q&A afterward. Batman vs. Robin, the upcoming DC animated film, will make its debut world premiere with a Q&A afterwards on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, there will be a first look at The Last Ship Season 2, a Warner Brothers presentation. That's nothing has been revealed about that. A panel on DC Convergence. Marvel, next big thing. A panel on Orphan Black. And on Sunday, there will be a premiere, world premiere of Batman Unlimited, Animal Instincts, a sneak peek at the final episodes of Season 1 of Powers, Warner Archive Collectors More Than Sidekicks panel, a encore presentation of Batman versus Robin. And there's a whole lot more you could look up if you're going to WonderCon. Just go by www.comic-con.org/WCA/programming-schedule.
And speaking of cons, Wizard World released their financial statements for the year, and they are turning over a tidy profit.
Really?
Let's see. They've made, let's see, revenue for the year ended December 31st, 2014 was $23,060,178, an increase of $11,774,44, or 106% from the $11,186,000 compared to the year ending of December 13. So, Wizard World looked like at one point was struggling. Like one year they had canceled like all of their shows for the most part, except for like two or three. And now they're like putting on like how many shows are they putting on a year now?
It's several.
No, I'm trying to find the exact number. I just saw it, but sorry, people. I think they're doing like 20-something shows a year now. So they did turn they ship around as far as these conventions go. Only thing I wish that Marvel and DC did more of their conventions, but you know, I guess they don't want to spend the money on too many conventions during the year, so. And what's the closest convention you get to you?
Comic Conway.
Comic Con, what?
Conway, Arkansas. It's in November. It's at the Conway Public Library. And that's the one I know. I've realized there are plenty of cons.
If it's at a public library, that's a small budget.
It still works. I've had chances to go, but something always came in the way. And I've realized there are plenty of cons that happen throughout the state of Arkansas, you know, some more specific based, but again, I need a license. I need money to be able to go. Money I don't have right now.
Yo, we've been putting on bigger and bigger cons every year now. Utah.
Turns out
they like that stuff in Utah. But we're done with all the storylines?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, people, I got sad news for you. This is our last show of the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. There will be no more shows. There will be no comic book show next week. Because it's WrestleMania weekend coming up. Now, I'm not, it's too much trouble for me to go through all the shows and through all the rundown of WrestleMania. So I'm just going to do the WrestleMania rundown, okay? And it will start this Thursday, March 26th, with the Lex Podcast, the Road to the Road to Santa Clara. The network's own Lexicon is going to be live at this year's WrestleMania. So he'll be doing reports, taking pictures, posting his experience throughout the weekend. And he'll kick off our coverage of WrestleMania with a podcast as he drives out to Santa Clara to go see all the wrestling. And then at 9 p.m., you get a Rant and Wrestling WrestleMania booking special. Friday, the 27th, we kick things off, of course, with that Ultimate Shows. The one I like to pull out the vault from time to time, like Disney does his cartoons, The Fun Show. Now, it's scheduled for 9 o'clock, but we may go on at 8. And it's real talk, people. Be prepared. Don't be scared. Make sure you call in, and we will have a ball. Follow at midnight at Freaks and Effing Geeks Live. I don't know why they have to take up my time, but... I'm not the boss. Saturday at 1 p.m. Rant and Wrestling. Oh, hold on. What? Did I miss something?
What was the last thing you just said?
No, I'm saying, did you just post something?
No.
Oh, okay. That was from before. Okay, sorry. Saturday at 1 p.m. Rant and Wrestling replays from Thursday night. At 5 p.m. we'll be at Rant EM Radio Roundtable Live. Well, they have a discussion about wrestling. And then sometime between 11 and 12:30 midnight, whichever time. It's a fluid start time, people. But after the WWE finishes their Hall of Fame, there will be we will go live with a post-show recap Hall of Fame ceremonies. What we thought and who gave good speeches and so on and so forth. And then Sunday, the 29th, a full day. So make sure you get your vitamins, people, because you're going to need it. 8 a.m., the Lexicon Podcast will replay again, followed by the Rexplex at 10 a.m., 12 noon, the Wrestling Call-In Show Live with William Morgan. 2 p.m., Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil and Dave live. 4 p.m., The Rant will be live, leading into WrestleMania. And then after WrestleMania will be the WrestleMania post-show recap, which will be around 11 p.m. And then all these shows will replay in its entirety from 6 a.m. Monday morning. So if you can't be around and listen to these things live, they will be available for download. They will be available in the feed. So you don't want to miss. You don't want to be without. WrestleMania coverage gets bigger and bigger every year. We'll be back in 2 weeks. I know you thought we was going off the air, but we never. We get stronger. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Right, Jordan? Right?
Well, yes, we will be.
Okay. I'm just glad somebody won't be around on Friday. Because, he'll be busy doing other things where I have to. Anyway. You'll probably call in Friday, right?
Yeah, well.
Damn it. God damn it. Fuck up. No, I'm sorry. And, so join us, of course, during the week when we bring you new episodes of Freaks and Geeks, The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Wrestling Calling Show, Awful Podcast, Rexplex, Rant and Wrestling, and the Lex Experience Podcast. And the Grand Day of Maul, the What Are You Reading comic book show here, live every Sunday at 5 p.m. on rantemradio.com. Did I forget anything?
Nope.
Well, of course, we thank you for listening to this train wreck of a show. But, you know, I'm glad we are recording, because I'm always afraid that I'm going to do all this talking and look up and that none of it gets recorded. But haven't had that bad luck yet, and crossing the fingers it won't. Anyway, any last words you got to say, Jordan?
Really good show. Go read Red One by Image Comics. Red One, number one.
What about Red One?
What?
What about it?
It's a very good book.
You don't want to do a review?
Yeah, it's, well, we're wrapping up. I just want to throw a friendly recommendation out there. That Red One, number one, is a very interesting, intriguing first issue of a spy comic from Image Comics right now.
Okay. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, let me catch my breath so I can say
goodnight.
Good night,
everybody.
We appreciate your support and listening to us. If you got any feedback, let us know. You know, we're not above trying to improve the show. So if you think we have a way of improving the show, let us know. If you just want to be mean about it, then keep that to yourself, because I have feelings too, you know. But other than that, I appreciate those that listen, and I appreciate all my fans, and I appreciate the, you know, people that take the time to give us a forum and listen to what we have to say. So, from all those at Rant EM Radio, we sign it off. As always, good night. Peace.